Oh, we've got a show today. It's the news, according to me. Hey, it is Wishy-Washy Wednesday. Wednesday, August 9th, 8:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have a little kitty cat down here by my... She wants some attention this morning. She's from around the corner now. She's wanting a few pets. That's fun. Anyway, yeah. Hey, it's 2026, by the way, is the year. Just so you, just in case you need to know that. Hey, I've got a lot of, well, there's a lot going on. We're going to have a little different format today on the show. We'll talk about that a little bit. We have, in my cup, we have chai. I didn't walk the dogs this morning. I got a lot of things piling up. Got to make sure I get some stuff done before noon. Otherwise my day kind of falls apart. I have, lot going on. I ended up sleeping in a little bit. I had to work on some stuff for work last night. Just kind of getting ready for the next month. I had to kind of plan my schedule out. It wasn't anything actually work type work. It was just getting my schedule rearranged, making sure everything was in place so that my vacation goes as planned. I might be off until the 19th of next month. See how that has to work out. I'm not sure. We have there's that. There's also some other things that are going on. I'm possibly going to be off till the 19th. If I can work out my schedule that way, then that gives me. Well, I'll forget how to do my job when I get back. Probably should have somebody work with me a little bit when I go back to make sure I'm not doing anything crazy. I have. In my cup here, I have some chai with Almond Joy creamer, of course. My backup cup, I have the last. This is the last cup. I didn't get a chance to make any tea yesterday. I mean, I had a chance, but I didn't do it. It's actually pretty good. I can tell it's starting. The tea itself is starting to get a little bit funky, but it's peach flavored funky, which is actually, I can live with that. I think I can. I'm not sure if I'm going to live with it or not. Tea develops something called coliform bacteria. And it affects the flavor somewhat. At least I can taste it anyway. I guess some people can't taste it, but I can taste it. And it's something that if a place that sells sweet tea, if they don't, or tea of any kind actually, but it develops especially in sweet tea because the sugars help to kind of fuel the bacteria. And people say, oh, there's bacteria in there. Well, you've got, here, a little news brief for you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a bacteriologist. You have almost as many bacteria. I think they've kind of changed this now from what I understand. They used to say that there's more bacterial cells in your body than there are human cells. I think now they've kind of recanted on that. There's more microbiome cells. In other words, there's all kinds of things other than bacteria. More of those, the total cells that are in your body are organisms that are not you. Or are they? The bacteria, they think now, is about 50% of your body makeup in terms of cells. So you're just a walking petri dish is what you are. But they're good bacteria. There's good bacteria, bad bacteria. And it's a matter of, you know, getting through that stuff. Anyway, the coliform is not really one or the other. It's not really healthy bacteria, but it's also not dangerous as far as, I mean, unless you have other, issues, it can weaken your body to a certain point. It does certain things to your gut. I got to talk about it. Let's just say, there's a reason why they call it the runs. You'd be running to the bathroom. I have, but I'm not going to talk about it. But that's what coliform bacteria. Too much of it will do to you. So if I have to get up immediately during this show, you'll know what's going on. No, today's panel, we're going to have a panel discussion today rather than just having individuals on. I was thinking about having Skip back on the show for the panel discussion. He always adds kind of a fun little attitude. He's the skeptic in the bunch. But we've got Artie, Chloe, and Elena here. So they're going to be today's going to be a little, it's going to be kind of a backwards deal. I'm going to ask them the question. I'm going to say, here's the topic. You guys go ahead and discuss it. I'm going to ask them the question. See how this works out. It's just, again, this is just a test thing. It's a beta test thing right now for the podcast caller. By the way, this show is not brought to you by anybody but me. And there's no sponsor. However, I have designed this thing called Podcast Caller. If you've listened to the podcast before, you probably know. If this is your first time listening, you would have no idea what's going on here. But the Podcast Caller is a simulator that works as a, it simulates people calling in and asking questions. Now I've only got, three or four characters, I have five characters on there, I guess now. I only use four of them at a time. And they come up, AI generates the questions and they call in a certain topic, days, all that kind of stuff. If you've seen the show, I don't want to be too repetitive, but if you watch the show or listen to the show once, you probably get it. Now, speaking of watching the show, I'm putting together a similar application that the podcast caller will plug into, and it's just a video switcher, much like OBS. It's kind of a open source program that uses, it's a switcher. You can switch from one camera to another, you can do different scenes. So you can put in a YouTube video, whatever it is you put in there. You can put in overlays, all kinds of stuff. You can split screens and corner sockets, all kinds of stuff, the lower thirds. So my system's going to be similar, but it's going to be much simpler and very easy to use for a single podcast person to just kind of throw together and manage. It's also going to have an AI agent in the background, and actually already that's already working. I'm just going through the whole pipeline thing right now, trying to get all the video and stuff, channeled through the screens and do all that stuff. But in the midst of that, there's already a window for the chat or for the AI assistant, which is kind of a director, and you'll be able to talk to the director, much like Snerdly on Rush's show. At some point, we'll probably also be able to bring in the director, be able to speak to you. And one of the biggest advantages there is you can say, "Hey, director, look up this whatever that is." And it will look that up. Now, the podcast caller will also have that eventually as well. Once I get it working on the other thing as well, it's going to be a plugin. That's actually something I wanted to put on this one anyway. But I'm already incorporating it into the. It's going to be called Telestream. IntelliStream. It's going to be the name of the product. I don't know if I'm going to sell the product or not. It's just going to be my thing. But it's right now. It's just going to be it's in the beta building stage. Working through all those issues. Video is a whole different ballgame, a whole different thing, and it's a lot more to build into it. The audio, of course, is very easy, especially if you've got a Rodecaster. I've got a Rodecaster Pro. It's the first model that they came out. I think they've come out with at least another version of it. It's quite a bit nicer, actually. But this works very well. It makes things so much easier. It's so much easier to do everything. Anyway, that's kind of what's going on. So I have, where are we at here? I'm getting off in the weeds with that. We have, right now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to play this little thing here real quick. And then we're just going to jump right into the panel. I'm going to introduce everybody and just going to have a little discussion. I'm going to start asking some questions and see what everybody says about it. There's a few awkward pauses. It's got a latency issue because it's an MVP. It's actually everything's operating out of my computer. There's nothing actually happening. The normal podcast caller actually operates in the cloud, so everything's much quicker. Whereas this has to compute everything here on the computer, and then it goes out there, and then it comes back in here. It actually has to bounce back and forth twice because of it, which is kind of a. It slows things down. It goes from, 0.6 seconds in terms of response to about 3 or 4 seconds total, I think, is what it ends up being. So it's kind of it will be a little bit awkward at times. And I have to make sure I don't speak, because if I do, one of the glitches with this thing is that it's not supposed to stop them from talking if I start talking, but it's supposed to duck it down, which it does. The problem is that way I can talk over them. However, if for some reason it's triggering the system to put me back in charge, and I want them to continue to talk. There's a button I'm supposed to be able to push, so I can interrupt them and actually talk without them continuing. So it's kind of a little bit different of a deal. So we'll see how that all works out. I don't know. I'll give them 4 turns there, I guess. Normal length, that should be fine. We have, let's just do that. Okay, we have, excuse me. So that's what we're going to do. Right after this little, we're going to play this little ditty, and then I'll be back. I'll get everything all set up here. So go have yourself a little cup of whatever you drink. You know, refreshing your cup there while you're listening to this little ditty, and you dance around the kitchen or whatever you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you're doing. Just do whatever you're doing. Go from there.
Before we get started, here's what you should know. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you tuned in. I've got things to say and I don't know where to begin. But first, a word, a little tiny word from me. This is entertainment, not a medical degree. I'm not a doctor, not a lawyer, not a financial counselor. Nope, these are my opinions, just my take on things, not professional advice. Read the fine print, please, I'm here for your enjoyment. Nothing more, nothing less, but definitely don't sue me. Woo! I've given you my best. I might sound convincing when I get on a roll, and yeah, I googled that, so maybe I am on a scroll. But for the real stuff, your body, your wallet, your rights, call a professional and maybe tune in Friday nights. Oh,
opinions,
just opinions,
just my thoughts
for entertainment,
just entertainment.
That's the shot. Now that we've covered all the legal stuff and more, let's get the show started. Woo! That's what you came here for.
I think that's what you came here for. I don't know if that's what you came here for. You can get that. That one particularly gets kind of big there. It's kind of a big boy band thing going on. We have, I'm just going through emails, deleting things, just deleting. So most of it's just junk mail. I don't know what's going on with that. Get a few other things. Anyway, get this stuff going on. We have, right now I have the floor. On the line here, in the studio, we have a few folks here. We have Artie, Chloe, and Elena. Artie is kind of the deep thinker, the guy who kind of does all the deep thinking, supposedly. We have, who else we got? We got Chloe. Chloe's kind of the fashionista, if you want to call her that, I guess. She's kind of the one who has I don't know how you'd say it. How you say it, Chloe? She's kind of the one with all the, I don't know, just more about the low down on all the stuff that's going on, the social light kind of thing. Elena is the librarian. She is she's the historian. She knows all about everything that's happened in the past, and she's always bringing up stuff from the 1840s and the 1200s and before. Yeah, anyway, it's just always bringing up that stuff and trying to relate it to what's happening today. So today we're going to be talking. So I've divided up the topics today to make this kind of interesting. We're going to have them talk about it. I'm going to ask them the questions and see what they each have to say about each of the things, and they can have their own little discussion going on. Like I said, there's going to be a few odd pauses here, and I might go back and actually edit those out. Sometimes it pauses for uncomfortably long, 6-7 seconds, which is a long time for a show like this to be look like right now if I just stop talking. It's kind of awkward. You're just sitting there listening to nothing. It's the sound of silence. We have, I guess I need to, you know, warm up my voice before I start singing. So that's who we have in the studio right now. So I'm going to ask them a question. And here goes the question. Let's see how this goes. Okay. Artie, Chloe, Elena, are you there this morning? I'd like to say good morning to you, first of all. Good morning. And how's everything going? I'm going to ask how you guys feel about everything as far as being here in the studio. If you had a good trip in, if you're all comfortable, if you need anything, you need water, you need snacks, whatever you need, let me know. I'm just going to let you guys figure it out.
Hyped to be here right now. Like, the energy in this studio is actually giving, and I'm ready to spill on whatever we're talking about today.
I'm really glad to be here too, and I have to say, Chloe, you bring that energy every time, which is honestly what makes these conversations work. I'm curious where we're headed with today's topics.
Actually, I appreciate the vibe, but let's be real. Good energy doesn't replace good information, and that's what I'm here to bring to the table.
Okay, then. Well, let's get started. Let's ask a question. Here's the question that we're going to ask. We're going to start off with typically this would be a question that I think is more suited for Artie, but we'll see what happens here. The election surveys, this one company that was out there that did election surveys apparently has now admitted that they were fabricated. I can't remember what the name of the company is. Maybe you could find this in the news. This will be interesting. Now, you guys can feel free to look up information as we're going here. And I want you to try to draw on as much as you can in the background. Feel free to look up information as I'm talking about it and try to find the real answers to these questions. Because I'm going to be asking you the questions this morning. So you're going to be answering them. And hopefully you find the right data in the background there as you're searching to find this stuff. So this company was out there and was doing it. Finally has admitted that it basically made up all these election surveys. They were completely fabricated. They never asked anybody any questions. They were just basing it on algorithms that they pulled out of nowhere, or I guess aggregating information they got off of news reports. So what kind of algorithms were they using, and how did they fake this? And how did they fool so many people? How did they get away with this, I guess, is the question. And how can we really verify the methodology of any of these polls? How much should we trust these pollsters? They do follow a pattern that seems to be similar every year, every election cycle. What are your thoughts on this? I'm going to hand it back to you guys. What are your thoughts on it? And just go ahead and jump in when you feel like you have the answers to this kind of a question. Go ahead.
Technically speaking, you're talking about something that's been a recurring issue. The real problem is that most polls don't disclose their methodology clearly enough. So when a bad actor uses algorithms instead of actual sampling, nobody catches it until the results look wildly off post-election.
That's exactly right, Artie. And historically, we've seen this pattern before. Polls gain credibility through repetition and media citation, not necessarily through audit. Once a fake poll gets cited enough times, it becomes treated as fact.
Yo, that's literally how misinformation spreads on TikTok too. Like, if enough people repost something, it becomes real, even if nobody fact-checked the original. We gotta actually click through and see where polls come from, not just accept them because CNN cited them.
You're right that repetition creates belief. But the difference is TikTok spreads it horizontally, peer to peer, whereas fake polls weaponize institutional authority. News outlets them precisely because they look official, which is harder to spot than a viral repost.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, that interesting stuff. Now, let's, so I guess, is there a way that we can trust these organizations? How should we, as the average consumer of information out there, how should we, is there a key point that we should kind of look into? Maybe there isn't anything. Is there a way we can actually verify some of these polls? And do polls really matter? I guess, is this at the end of the day, are polls going to change your mind Would you guys change your vote depending on what the polls are saying? Is it, or would you change the way you donate, I guess, maybe is a bigger deal. If someone's up or down in the polls, does that have more impact on donations, or does it actually impact how people vote? What do you think of that? What say you?
Polls matter way more for donor behavior than voter behavior. Actually, there's a feedback loop where a candidate drops in polls, donations dry up, then they can't afford ads. And what tanks them, not the poll itself changing minds.
That's low-key genius. It's like when a creator loses sponsorships after one bad week of engagement and can't afford production anymore. So, yeah, the poll becomes self-fulfilling. But also donors are way more online than voters, so they're probably seeing the same fake polls and panicking first.
Artie's nailing it. That feedback loop is exactly what happened to Gary Hart in 87. Polling collapse triggered donor panic, and suddenly he couldn't compete, even though voter opinion hadn't actually shifted yet. The poll became the story instead of the campaign.
Yeah, and technically speaking, that's the real danger. The poll doesn't reflect reality. It by starving the candidate of resources before voters even weigh in. Gary Hart's a perfect example of the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah, a good point. I do remember that. I was actually alive when that happened. It was actually kind of an interesting time in our history. Gary Hart was actually, but this happens, I think, more rapidly now with the internet being what it is. I do remember, you know, the whole thing with Gary Hart was a big deal. It was kind of a one-off at that time. Now you have 10 or 20 offs because, from what I've seen, the Democrats will go through about five or six different people that they're trying to put up in front, and they're hopefuls, they're presidential hopeful type things. You know, Newsom was one. I think Newsom's not going away. He's a consummate professional politician, very slick. He's got the used car salesman vibe thing going on. Very good at what he does. He's in terms of being a politician, he's not good at governing. He's just good at being a politician. And he's going to be back around. He knows he just has to wait the news cycle out. Just like Ilhan Omar she's still got some kind of credibility. People still ask her questions, like for serious questions about things, about what she thinks about stuff. Well, who cares? This lady is so corrupt. So corrupt, and it's she should be in prison right now, and she's hanging around getting questions from reporters and still acting smug about it. Well, you know, this is not what it's supposed to do with that, but she's not quite as cocky as she used to be. She's not quite as verbose as she used to be, but she's still out there. She still has her little attitude. She hates this country. It's obvious to me. But that's kind of where we're going at that. Now, question number two. Let's start this topic. This is the way we're going to go with this one. Let's go with, let's just ask this question. And I guess Trump made some kind of a deal, I guess, now with Canada with the tariff deal. This just happened, I think, within the last day. I think it's within the last 24 to 48 hours that they've announced that they've come to a deal with Canada on the tariff thing. Now, I have not looked at the details on this. Maybe you guys have some more information on it. You can tell us more about it. Maybe Artie can find out that information. But we have... the tariff deal now apparently has gone through, and I guess some people are saying this is just we're just kicking the can down the road because I think it's a 6-month deal of some kind, and I don't even know what the details are. I know that they've gotten some relief on some of the tariff issues, just because things have been a little slower getting implemented than what they had planned originally, I think, or whatever it is. But I'm not positive of those details. I really haven't looked at the whole tariff agreement. So I guess you have to ask yourself. We may be in the same place in 6 months with this contention going on between us and Canada in terms of the tariff thing. What say you guys? What's your opinion on this? I'm going to give it back to you guys to kind of thrash that one out.
Actually, a 6-month pause just gives both sides cover to claim victory without solving the underlying issue. Tariffs are leverage, and Trump's using them to renegotiate. So I'd expect this exact fight in September unless something structural actually changed in the deal terms.
Artie's right. This echoes the pattern we saw with NAFTA renegotiations, where the real leverage plays out over years, not months. Unless Canada agrees to structural concessions on energy or supply chains, we're just hitting pause on a much bigger power struggle.
Yeah, but like, 6 months is literally forever in news cycle terms. Nobody's gonna care or remember this deal existed by September, so Trump gets the W and Canada gets breathing room, which is honestly a vibe for both of them politically.
That's fair on the news cycle, but historically these pauses backfire. People remember when prices spike again, and that's when the real political cost hits. 6 months buys them time, not a solution.
Technically speaking, the political cost only hits if prices actually spike visibly to consumers. And that's the gamble here, because tariff impacts lag by months. So by the time people feel it at the pump or grocery store, we're already past the election cycle Trump cares about.
I guess they're done. We have a... I'd reset it so that we'd talk a little bit more, but maybe they're not going to. We have one more question here. That's interesting stuff, though. You know, I didn't think about the actual election cycle. I haven't even thought about that angle. That does put us through the end of, you know, it takes away the tension and all the stuff between now and election time for the midterms. I had not even thought about that. That's probably one of the biggest issues that we got, you know, probably that was part of the negotiation. Again, Trump is just a transactional guy. Sees things transactionally, thinking, hey, we'll just put a pause in this for 6 months. It is kicking it down the road, but it's past the election cycle, and it's just one more thing, or one less thing, I guess, that supposedly the Democrats have something to wedge in there, supposedly, or the DSA. I'm not sure who owns the party right now. If it's the DSA or the DNC, who knows who's got the party. But speaking of which, there's a lot of issues there, but we'll talk about that later. Let's go on to the next question. This is kind of more down the Chloe line of thinking. Maybe Chloe wants to answer this first. I don't know. I guess Rosie O'Donnell is back. She's going to be hosting the Jimmy Kimmel show. She's guest hosting for Jimmy Kimmel. She's calling Trump the Mango Mussolini on television, just on live. And it's kind of like the feud is back. And the, you know, the drama continues to go on. Is this just a time warp thing going on? Just what is happening here? And what do you think about the whole idea of her coming back to host the show? And her in general, I guess. What are your feelings about Rosie O'Donnell and her return to the United States to be? I think she's been in Ireland. What do you think?
Honestly, her coming back and immediately going after Trump on live TV is peak entertainment. Like, girl, you literally just got off the plane and chose violence. I respect it. The whole nostalgia angle of their feud hitting different now that she's been gone makes it feel genuinely chaotic in a way that's actually fun to watch instead of exhausting.
What's interesting is that feud's been dormant long enough that people almost forgot how personal it actually was. She's basically resurrecting a 2000s culture moment when that kind of celebrity-on-celebrity beef felt different, less orchestrated than now.
Actually, the timing's doing a lot of work here. She comes back right as Trump's politically relevant again, so it reads less like nostalgia and more like she's got a reason to dust off the old material, which maybe makes it less authentic than Elena's saying.
I mean, Artie's got a point, though. Like, if she's timing this specifically because Trump's back in the news cycle, that's low-key calculating, which kills some of the magic, you know? The feud hits different when it feels real and not just opportunistic.
But that's exactly what makes it a real feud, not a manufactured one. People don't dust off genuine grudges unless something actually lit the match again. If she was being opportunistic, she'd have done it years ago when he was already famous.
Well... Yeah, let me weigh in on this for just a minute. One of the things that drives me up a wall about this whole Rosie O'Donnell thing, she wants to get out of the country because Trump is so terrible. Of course, she has the means to do so. Here's the hypocrisy that just drives me up a wall. Nothing gets me more upset than double standards and just hypocrisy. I'm sure I'm guilty of it as well. But maybe I see it in my own life, and that's why it makes me so mad when other people are just so blatant about it. But here's the deal. You leave the country because you're trying to escape someone who's so terrible. And all you can do while you're over there is talk. That's your whole reason for existing, is to talk about how bad this person is. It's one thing after another. Any interview you have is all about Trump. It's all about Trump, 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 and how he affects you, how you feel about it. It's all, you know, it's not even about Trump. It's about her. Realistically, she's, and most people who have this Trump derangement syndrome thing, it's not about Trump. It's about them and expressing. One, the biggest thing is their self-righteous virtue, that they, look how terrible of a person he is. Oh, he's just a terrible person, and I'm up here on my little high horse, and I'm telling you how wonderful I am, because I'm looking through the lens of morality and my superior ability to look down on other people. And yet, who was the... Look, I know Johnny Depp is a big fan. Everybody, people like Johnny Depp. He's got some serious fans. He's also got some serious detractors. He's back in it again. Now, here again, this is a guy who doesn't like Trump. He's called for his assassin. He's called for his killing.
When was the last time an actor killed a president?
He's talking about Abraham Lincoln. Which, in so many ways, even just saying that, it is a scathing documentary on himself as an actor, and on actors in general, on the whole Hollywood thing. One of the most favorite presidents of all time, in fact, Barack Obama's favorite president, is Abraham Lincoln. That's a standard answer everybody gives it, because he's one of the most popular, just because he, you know, stop the slavery thing. But at the same time, you know, Johnny Depp goes through all this stuff where he's suing people for slander. He's his former, I don't know, girlfriend, whatever she was, goes through this whole court thing, and she accused him of assault or something. I don't know what it was. And it's all this stuff. They're going back and forth, and he was found guilty in a civil trial that was really a kangaroo court. It was what was needed for in that civil court. This was in Europe. I think it was in Australia, or was it in? Is in UK? I can't remember. The rules are very different there for civil court. Let's just put it that way. You don't even have, it's to prove something is to find fault in someone in a civil court in the country that it was being fighting. I think it was in UK, if I remember right. And it's very different than it is here. The rules are crazy. He was never committed. He never committed a crime in terms of he was never in a criminal court or anything. However, you would think the way the left acts with him, some of the radical people who don't like him, that he had committed a crime. Now, the same thing happened to Trump, almost identical. And yet you kind of want to walk up to the guy and say, so how does it feel to be falsely accused of something and be told that you're an animal and you're basically, you know, socially an outcast? You know, you go through the whole process of being canceled, the cancel culture thing, all these people lying about you, saying, and yet that's exactly what's happened to Trump. Oh, but he's really a pig. Okay, but you're not. All the stuff that you've done, that just, you know, the media, because the media loves it when you do it. But Trump just talks about the people who do it, you. And all of a sudden, he's the one doing it. He talks about what famous people can get away with in a locker room somewhere. And all of a sudden, you're one of the famous people, don't like that. Oh, look, look at what he does. Oh, he's so much beneath me. Look at me and all my virtue, and I'm going to call him out because I am so virtuous and I can spot that kind of thing because I am on the high and mighty side of this whole thing. These people are ridiculous. Anyway, they have, so this goes on. And I know I'm getting long-winded here, but this so now Rosie O'Donnell goes off and she runs off to another country because, oh, Donald's going to get me. Oh, it's dangerous for us to be here. And her whatever, trans daughter, whatever, kid, what, I don't know what she's got. She's got some kid that's got all kinds of issues. Interesting how the percentages of people who have issues, kids with issues, is extremely high. This one lady was talking about, she's an actress of some kind, and she has two trans kids. Gee, what are the odds of that? I kind of have to wonder. We have Rosie, who goes over there, and every time she gets a microphone in her face, Donald starts foaming at the mouth and talking about Donald Trump. Now she wants to come back over here, get on a show that's known for, you know, supposedly Jimmy Kimmel is a Christian. I don't know about that. But he's got all this hatred again towards the administration and Republicans in general. But she's going to come back over here because she just wants an opportunity to. It's going to be just nothing but a spewing from her mouth of Mussolini orange. But I digress. Let's move on. Let's go to a question. This might be a question more for Elena, but this is more of a historical question. We'll go from here. ABC is suing the FCC over the View, the show The View, the ladies on The View, claiming retaliation. They're claiming that the FCC is retaliating against The View. Now, I don't know what, I think there's some kind of a fine that they've levied or something's happened to them. Some are saying that this is reminiscent of the fairness doctrine fights that we had back in the 80s. Now, I wasn't sure if it was in the 80s or not. I know there was stuff going back and forth about fairness doctrine, and if you put one political view, you had to have the other side of the political view, or at least offer an opportunity for it. It was kind of a back and forth thing, and there's this fairness doctrine thing, and it can actually be manipulated in bad ways on both sides. It's actually kind of a crazy thing. The question is, do you think we're heading back to that kind of a government climate, media, the kind of a media standoff type thing? Or is this just all political theater? What do you guys think about the whole idea of this just being theater and just being optics, and it's just, you know, it's an election season, so it's heated right now. What are your thoughts on it?
The fairness doctrine actually died in 87, and we've never really gone back. But what's different now is the stakes feel higher because fragmentation is total. Back then, you had three networks. Now you've got infinite channels picking their lane. The real question isn't whether this is theater, it's whether we've lost the reality that made the doctrine even possible to enforce.
Actually, Elena's right on the fragmentation piece, but technically speaking, the doctrine was already dying before 87. The FCC started weakening it in the 80s because enforcing fairness on three networks was way easier than policing cable.
Honestly, we're so siloed into our own feeds now that enforcing any kind of fairness would be impossible. Like, half my timeline never sees what the other half sees, so it's already fragmented before any doctrine could even land.
That's exactly it. The fairness doctrine assumed a shared information space, and we don't have that anymore. You can't enforce fairness when people aren't even watching the same broadcast.
Yeah, and honestly, that's why the ABC lawsuit feels so performative to me. Like, who's actually watching The View in 2024 outside of a very specific demo? It's giving fighting a battle that's already over.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, they do seem to have their audience. But it is a very slimmed down audience anymore. They have actually authorized. Typically, what happens, and this happens a lot with the left anyway, because they're all or nothing folks. They have you have to be all in with their agenda, or you are out. And you say one thing that makes sense, that 80% of the people in the country, you know, agreed to, you're ostracized. You're out. You're the enemy now. You can agree with them on everything else. You can be a staunch supporter of all kinds of things, but if you come out against one thing, you are all of a sudden, you are on the bad end of everything. And this happens occasionally, and I think it wakes people up. I think some of these people, I would think that, you know, Johnny Depp would have woken up over some of this kind of stuff, but he doesn't. He just stays, oh, I'm just going. Anyway, you got John Fetterman, for example. And I think it has pushed him to the point where he is really kind of probably, he's got to be considering not, he's got to be considering becoming independent. Someone who ran for president on the left, Tulsi Gabbard. Now she has stepped down since, but she was. I kind of respect the way she did it. She ended up becoming an independent first, then she became a Republican. It wasn't I'm going to jump over to the other side kind of thing. She kind of weighed out her options and went to the, you know, it took a moment to pause and kind of try to figure out who she was and who she was going to caucus with and what she was going to do. And I respect that. I don't know that I would agree with her probably on 100% of the things that she probably is about. However, I think she was put in a good position with the DNI. I think that position has always been hard. They developed this whole Department of National Intelligence. It was supposed to be an aggregator, a kind of a curator, if you will, of the. It was just another. The whole idea was great. It was kind of a place to say that all these alphabet soup organizations are going to have some oversight, and we're going to have it, you know. But the problem with that is you've just developed another bureaucracy that is over the top of all the other bureaucracies, and it's just one more place that can be used to manipulate the data. Or, you know, one of my biggest concerns, and this has been known to happen, and it happened under the first Trump administration, and I think it's happened under many administrations. How do you trust the people? And Hillary Clinton kind of exposed how the sausage is made on this whole thing. She came out and said this. I played the audio a couple shows back. You have a situation where whenever there's an administrative switch, they shuffle people off into other offices. They just kind of keep them in the background where they still have the ability to see inside. There can be a mole. They're close enough to the administration that they can get classified, certain intel, certain ability to see what's going on inside the Capitol, insider information. And they can leak that out if nothing else, or they can actually influence it. Sometimes they have actually influence over some policy. But the biggest concern is that they're able to see what's going on. They have this insider information. They can help others kind of manipulate and twist and turn and postulate. So it's kind of this weird thing where they do this. Well, Hillary Clinton let it known that that's what they did. That she said, well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to have these people. These people are going to they're going to be out there, and they're going to. Whatever, she's going to have these people out there. They're going to shuffle them off into these offices where they're going to be hiding, and they're going to undermine the next administration. Well, okay. Apparently, you're admitting that happens, because the reason she knows that it happens is because that's what they did, and it's a very clear thing. I think this happened. I think this actually happened under the Carter administration as well, when Reagan took over. They had a harder time doing it then. It was a very different kind of world at that time. However, I have to think about this because we had, you know, we had Reagan, then we had Bush. Bush won, who was probably not necessarily a bad president, but he was not a good president. You have to remember he was former CIA. I think he was former CIA or something like that. So that's where we're at with this stuff. Now, we had Clinton for two terms. And they were radicals until the one midterm where he got shellacked, and then he started saying the era of big government is over. And they realized that they had been pushing too hard on some things, so they backed off. Remember back then, Hillary Clinton all of a sudden came up with this 12,000-page document. This is back when, things were printed out, and she came up with this 12,000-page document of healthcare, single payer healthcare. She was, that's where, that was all of a sudden she was advocating for that. That was her big thing. I think Alanya, First Lady's goal or her thing that she's representing is adoptions. That's what they're going for. That's kind of what typically the First Lady will usually take up a cause and usually have some kind of, because they have some influence, and so they put them in a position where they can kind of have some kind of a bully, like a bully pulpit type thing, where they just have some kind of influence. They have some kind of a sponsorship of something. It's usually something humanitarian involved. This was, Hillary Clinton was all about single payer healthcare, and she was trying to push legislation through as the First Lady. Very, in a time when that was not really the place of the, we didn't elect her, but they were trying to be like co-presidential. So it was a very different kind of time in our history. And, I expected. Anyway, so we have, this whole thing happening, with this, the political theater that goes on, everything else. It's just an interesting bunch of stuff. So that's what's happening. In my opinion, we have the holdouts. We have the people who are going to be kind of sitting around back in back offices who are going to influence things. And it's just, I just have a, there's always this, I don't call it the deep state. I call it the shadow state or the shadow government. That's kind of behind the scenes doing a lot of things. Getting back to my whole point originally was the you've got these people in these offices, and you've got CIA. You look at somebody like Brennan and Clapper and those guys that were in, you know, the CIA. They were very politically involved. You don't see every day people out from the Trump administration, the people who are heading up the CIA and the NSA and all that stuff. You don't see them in front of the cameras every day. You know, James Comey's not, you don't know, the director of the FBI, all this stuff. He's not out there every day. Now, sometimes they are, but a lot of times what you see in general is to, the president depends on getting good information. He has to make it, you know, he's the decider, so to speak. I think that's what George Bush the second was all about. They're kind of the one who has to kind of make the final decision on a lot of things. And if they're getting bad information or prepackaged kind of spun information from organizations, and of course, they would hear directly from the CIA, they would hear directly from the NSA, the OSI, whatever it was, they were hearing, you know, DOD. So they're getting all this information, and they would curate all that information, and they would, you know, they present that in a briefing to the president. Now, you know, he can't be, you know, just listening to him all day long. They can get on the phone and talk to him if they need to. But it's kind of one of those things where the NIA, I think, was supposed to be kind of the one-stop shop for all these places to report to and give their information to. So once this stuff goes through, and the only really way to protect this stuff from being influenced, and you got the guy at the top basically approving whatever's going through the office and whatever they're telling the president. There's this very concern that I have is that somebody can put a spin on this information. And sometimes it's compartmentalized to the point where one person, you know, is looking into one thing, another person is looking into something else, and neither one knows what the other person is looking at, and they're all doing this research or doing some kind of investigation. And so then the person who's in charge is supposed to make sense of this and get present it to the president, or at least present it to the administration or people who need to know. So we put this other bureaucracy in between that to kind of oversee all of that. But the problem with that is now you've got another person in the mix. It's kind of like playing the game Telegraph or whatever it is. The other person now is in the mix, and now things can get twisted again. There's always that possibility of more influence from someone else doing something else, which has always concerned me. It's like who's to say that these guys might. I mean, when you have something, what was happening during the first Trump administration, it was basically a soft coup. The Russians are doing this. The Russians are doing that. The Russians have all the earmarks. of Russian disinformation, you know, that whole Hunter laptop thing. Now, Hunter Biden now has been asked point blank by people, and they don't push back. This Sean Ryan, I'm sorry, I've lost him. He's lost to me. He's gone off the deep end. And you got Sean Ryan. I lump him into the whole thing with Tucker Carlson. You've got Candace Owens. They're all going to start fighting each other. That's what ends up happening with this kind of thing. When you get this kind of they become their own source of morality, their own source of virtue, and think that they're onto something, and they're in the middle of all this stuff, and they're finding all these secret, top secret stuff out, and it's all, it's very suspicious that this is happening, and don't you think it's kind of strange that they did this or did that? Look at Jesse Ventura. He went down this whole thing, too. Now, a lot of people like Jesse. I'm just asking questions. All right, I'm just gonna leave it where it's at. These people are opportunistic individuals. All they care about is the clicks. They make their money by being controversial. They make their money. It's not about getting the right information out to you. It's not about, you know, that's not, it's the whole Occam's razor thing. You know, sometimes the most obvious explanation is just it, what it is. And everything's, you know, becoming conspiratorial. It's all this weird stuff that's going on. So I guess, you know, what I would say, is that the concern that I have is that the president could be potentially be influenced by false information or influenced information that they would not, you know, that they would not otherwise, you know, they can persuade them to go one particular way or the other. This was happening during the Kennedy administration when he was, you know, the whole Cuban Missile Crisis thing was going on. There was a huge issue there with people trying to influence the president and everything that was happening with them and with the whole situation. And if I personally, I think if JFK's brother had not been in that room, you know, helping with the whole process and in the I think that they may have actually persuaded him. It was almost a providential thing that his brother was there. Now, keep in mind that was JFK Jr.'s. Not JFK Jr. Robert Kennedy Jr.'s son is now in charge of the health whatever he is. So it's. It's interesting that this, you know, it's not just random coincidence that certain people are involved in certain things at certain times. I think that there's a whole lot more detail in the mix. There's a whole lot more providence behind many things that we see, especially in the levels of government that we see them in. Sometimes it's, you know, God calling things out. I think God speaks to us in ways that we don't. Sometimes it's right in front of us and we don't see it. I'm not saying that every little thing that happens is him speaking to us. However, it is every little thing. There's nothing that misses him. It just doesn't. He's not surprised by anything. I've seen some interesting things when my eyes are open to this kind of thing. It is very. You see the world a little differently. Someone might be doing something, giving a speech, doing whatever it is, and something happens that's unusual during that speech. And it's almost as if God is pointing the finger at something. Or trying to draw our attention to something or to say something in the midst of that. And if we're paying attention, we can kind of see what's, you know, it's foretelling sometimes, but it's also sometimes it's just revealing. Anyway, I'm not going to get too far down that rabbit hole. We have, I'm coming up on an hour on the show anyway. I'm going to play this one little thing here, and then we're going to be on our way. We have I'll talk about what's going to be on tomorrow's show. Tomorrow is Theological Thursday, and typically we have something in, you know, something going on. I don't know. We talk about stuff, theological stuff. We'll see what the, we might, let me know what you think about this little panel thing. If you like the panel thing, I might actually come up with more people to put in the panel, have more of a panel discussion, and we'll see what we can have with it. I kind of like it. I kind of like it when they start to kind of go back and forth and I just have commentary and I ask them the questions. It's kind of a fun little way of doing it. We'll see how that works out tomorrow. I'm kind of a little bit less inclined to do that on tomorrow. Friday might be a good time to do it. Financial Friday might be a good time to do it. But we'll work on it for tomorrow. Folks, in the meantime, just listen to this little ditty and we'll be right back. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Seven, four. But wait, there's more. 651. We're almost done. 76 and 85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number. Call that number. Don't be a loser.
Yeah, don't be a loser. Hey, we got a few things happening for tomorrow. We'll be talking about theological stuff. I don't know what the question. I think I'll just have the bots ask questions. And I'll just give the answers because that's what I do. I give answers to your questions, to your deepest questions. Not because I know, just because I make stuff up a lot. We have, what do we got going on the rest of the day? At least I'm getting this out fairly early today. I've got a lot of things to get done. I got a little traveling around to do. Some other things. And again, thanks for listening. But let me know what you think. If you find a way to make a comment, let me know what you think about the panel discussion over the regular. If you don't care, then don't bother with it. Just don't waste your time. But if you really like that opposed to the other way of doing things, of just having them ask questions, let me know what you like best. Because I might this whole thing's in beta right now. It's being tested. We're gonna have more going on with it. Anyway. In the meantime, just have a great rest of your day. God bless. Hope you have a wonderful weekend ahead of you. I do. I know I do. Got some good plans. Got the next month off, probably. So take care, and I will see ya.